Okay, so what I want to do is an interesting point that emerges from the Gemara in Ksubas, Daf, and Zayin. You can just replug in my computer, which just got unplugged. Which doesn't seem very interesting, and then Rashi has this comment that makes seemingly very technical Gemara actually be a very important yesod in the nature of Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. So on the Gemara in Ksubas, Daf, and Zayin, the Gemara in this has this whole complicated discussion about Tchilas Bia, Sof Bia, Kona, etc., etc., right? And the Gemara records the right that there is a Machloket, but, right, the Gemara has two different stages. At one stage in the Gemara, it says that the issue at hand is a Machlokes between different Amoraim, right? Yes?
Yeah.
And the second stage, it says that it's
one person.
It's one person. It's a machlok is about what he said, right? Yes.
Yes.
And the Gemara goes out of its way to try to figure out how we could say that it's a machlokes between two different amoraim rather than a machlokes about what one amora said, right? And the Gemara says a programmatic rule at the end of the Gemara, right? My kamash malon, right? What do I learn from this whole very long arichos? Ha kamash malon, this is what I'm teaching you. De pligi tre amoraya time is enough shayu, lo pligi tre amoraya liba de char amora. That we would rather say that something is a machlokes between two different amoraim, and not say that it's two people arguing about one what someone else said. Yes? Yeah, we all got this far?
Yeah.
So why is that true, right? Why is that the case? If we say that Beis Shammai holds X and Beis Hillel holds Y, right? So there's a machlokes. If we say that Reuven holds that Beis Hillel said X and Shimon says that Beis Hillel said Y, there's a machlokes also. Right? Why is it that we prefer...
In the second case, one of them has to be wrong.
Good, right? The very simple answer is that in one of those, somebody is wrong, and one of them, they're not. Now, you...
Yes,
necessarily.
Yes, necessarily.
Yes, but what are you assuming? It's definitely true that if two people argue about what Beis Hillel said, one of them is wrong.
Possibly both.
Right? Or possibly both are wrong. That's true. But your assumption was that only in that case is one person wrong. Is that obvious?
No.
No. Right? Meaning, what you assumed, right, without realizing that you assumed this, or maybe you already read Rashi, right, is that what? That if there's a machlokes, and Beis Hillel says us, or Beis Shammai says mutter, or vice versa, that...
Both of them are
right. That, yeah, that one of them is not necessarily wrong. Right? Meaning, if you... Right, so the first place you would go is where you just went, but it tacitly makes an assumption that's not actually obvious. Right, so before we actually read Rashi inside, let's give a little bit of background, okay? There is a phrase that is thrown around a lot, and it's very unclear what it means in Erevin, which is Eilu Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Yes? What? It does, yes. But the primary sugya is there. It all comes from Yidin Daf Zayin. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim. Yes?
Yeah.
Good. What does it mean?
This opinion and that opinion are both valid by God.
Okay, well first let's translate it. Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim.
This and that the word of God.
What?
This and that are the word of God, basically.
Well, okay, it's either this and this are the words of the living God,
or
right?
Or the words of God that live.
Right, right, or both of them are the words of God, right, right, which are living, right, so whatever, something like that, right, they're both something, let's say the words of the living God, fine, but what does that mean? What does it mean, Elu Ve'elu? What does that mean? I understand. Right, what's the continuation of the Gemara in Erevin? What's the context? The original context, Ve'elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Machlokes
between
Beis Shammai and the Gemara says
that a bat
Kibes Hillel. Right, Eilu Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim v'Halacha Kibes Hillel. Both of these are the words of the living God, and yet the halacha follows Beis Hillel. So, if the halacha follows Beis Hillel, then what does it mean? Eilu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. In one sense, are they both Divrei Elokim Chayim? So let's map out the possibilities. Okay. Right? What are the possibilities? Right? What could it mean that both sides of Imachlokes are Divrei Elokim Chayim?
There will be a situation where the other one is the way
you talk. Okay, so one is to say, let's clarify what you said, right? One is to say, how many right answers are there?
Two.
No, is that what you just said?
Oh, sorry, there's one right answer for each specific.
Right, term. One possibility is to say, in every case, there is only one truth, one true answer, but each answer has a kernel of truth that may express itself in another situation. Right? So that's not a multiple truth theory. Right? One possibility is to say, it's not that Elo Velo Divrei Elokim Chayim means they're both equally true. That's not the case. Both of them have elements of truth, but only one of them is in fact correct. Meaning, right, just push it a little bit farther, in God's Torah, in God's vision of what the Torah means, right, God thinks it is Usser, right, or God thinks it is Mutter, right? And that's all there is to it, right? Now, it may be that there's good reason to think that it is...
the opposite.
That's the opposite. It happens to be not a good enough reason for it to be true in this case, but in some other circumstance, it might be. Okay? So, that's one possibility. That it's not a multiple truth theory. It's just that there are different aspects of truth in each of them. Okay? Right? That's somewhere in the middle of the range of opinions. Right? Let's take the two extremes. Right? Let's leave aside for the word when we have a machlokes, right? So, how are we mityaches to the two positions? So there's the extremes. At one extreme, we could say, how many correct opinions are there?
One.
Now, that's what you said, yeah. Right? But you said something in between, right? There's one correct position in this case, but they each contain truth.
Yeah.
Right? Let's take it more extreme in both directions. Right, the most extreme position would be to say, when there's a machlokes,
what's true, what's true?
One's true, the other's false. Then what does Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim mean?
Both have root from there, but one's got to the wrong conclusion.
Well, that's what he said. Well, let's take the most extreme.
No, but one's got to the wrong conclusion. There's no kind of truth with Kalal. It's just the root of where somehow got there is through a wrong interpretation.
Something like that, right?
A wrong interpretation of Divrei Elokim Chayim by the one who's incorrect.
Right,
incorrect,
so what you get in some of the acronym is something like that, which is, it could just mean Elo Velo Divrei Elokim Chayim, only one of them is right, but because both of them went through the process of Talmud Torah, and we're trying, and we're doing it L'shem Shamayim, so they have value in that sense. But in terms of absolute truth, is there multiple truths?
On a practical level,
no.
It's useless, sir.
Yeah, on a practical level, it's useless, but Divrei Elokim Chayim means, like, you were involved in, you know, Shashua Shel Torah, you were involved in Amila Shel Torah, that's valuable, but in terms of true, false,
one is true.
There's only one which is true. Okay? A middle position would to say, yes, there isn't multiple truth, there's no such thing as a multiple truth theory, right, but each of them has kernel of truth,
yeah, right?
Fine. Then the most extreme position would be the multiple truth theory, right? Would be right a multiple truth theory, right? Which literally means what? What is a multiple truth theory?
Right.
He's right, you're wrong, actually. You said what?
Both right.
No, he said it's both right. You said everything is right. That's not the same.
Whatever it was in the
case. No, they're not the same.
In that case?
No. Right, everything is right, no one holds. I mean, right, there are clearly things which are wrong.
Thing in this case,
right, does right, you know. But
in that case,
fine. Fine. Right, so that's really the range. Right? Either you actually take a total multiple truth theory. Now, famously amongst the Rishonim, the multiple truth theory is taken by
Tosfos.
You're sort of right and sort of wrong. It does not appear in Tosfos, what you call Tosfos, like Tosfos Shelanu, the Tosfos on the Daf. It does appear in a Tosfos. Not Tosashans. Nope. Okay, let's just... How many Balei Tosas were there? Over 100, yes. So Tosas, so this particular passage appears in the Tosas Rabbeinu Peretz, which is more famously known, because we didn't have Tosas Rabbeinu Peretz until recently, because it's quoted in the Ritva, in Erevin Daf Yud Gimel Beis, just as a parenthetical point, for people who care about intellectual history, right? The Chachmei Svard, starting with the Ramban, very much care about Ashkenaz, right? The revolution of Rabbeinu Tam, right? the method of Rabbeinu Tam, right, of making chilukim and the like, right, that becomes very popular. But the Ramban only has a little bit of Tosfos material, as does the Rashba. The Ritva seems to have had an influx of Ashkenazi material, and therefore you will see much more Tosfos quoted in the Ritva. One of the Tosfos that he has is Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz itself is a compilation Tosfos, is a very late Tosfos. It's technically Tosfos Talmidei Rabbeinu Peretz. So that Tosfos has in it much Tosfos material. So the fact that Ritva had that, I mean that he had much, much more Tosfos material than the other Chachmei Sfard. Okay? So the Ritva, quoting the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, there says, right, what is...
Grandfather of Shiva.
He writes like this: Shalu Rabbeinu Tzarfa Zal Hech Efsher Shushneim Divrei Elokim Chayim Vezeh Ozer Vezeh Matir. How could it be that both of them are Divrei Elokim Chayim if one says Ozer, one says Matir? V'tirtzu, and they answered: Ki Kisha Ala Moshe LeMarom. When Moshe went up to heaven, Lekabel Torah. Heru lo al kol davar v'davar memtet panim le'isor memtet panim leheter. God showed him 49 ways of making it mutter and 49 ways of making it usher. Right? This finds roots in the Gemara in Chagiga Dav Gimel. Right? V'shallah Kadosh Baruch Hu said, he asked Hashem, v'amar shehizeh maser l'chachmei Yisrael shebechol dor v'dor v'yachra kamosam. Right? And God said, the answer will be left up to the Chachamim in each generation. So the Ritva quotes from Rabbeinu Peretz, then what does Elu Ve'elu mean?
Yud Gimel and Beis.
Both are right.
That's it. Both are right. Right. Both of them were possible. God said they were both possible. It just happens to be that he left the decision up to us. Right, but in fact, they are all true. Now, much has been written about Divrei Elokim Chayim, and I don't want to get into the whole sugya, so I've just mapped out the basic three possibilities that they have. There are nuances, right? There's Ramosha Feinstein's, that there's the Emet La'amito, which is the Emet, the truth in heaven, but the only thing that matters on earth is Emet La'hora'ah.
We derive.
What?
What we derive to be the truth?
Meaning, what we're supposed to do is follow the system as we know how to follow it. It doesn't matter whether we get the truth or not in the ultimate sense. Right? It just doesn't matter. Right? So he thinks there's one truth, but it doesn't matter. Right? That's another possibility. Right? So, that's Ramosha Feinstein in the Hakdama Digras Moshe, where he divides the world. There's Emet Lamito and Emet Lahora'ah. We don't practically care about Emet Lamito. So Elu Ve'elu Elokim Chayim means, look, both of them were like going through the process, and that's the only thing that really matters in life.
So why does it matter who does Hurrah then? If Hurrah, whatever result it is fine, why do you need Mumchen and everything?
Good question. Look at Rosenzweig's article in 1993 on Elu Ve'elu Elokim Chayim. You can listen to my shir on Elu Ve'elu Elokim Chayim and Chacham Echachasar from last year.
In short.
No, not in short.
No.
I don't do anything in short.
Bad time, what's it saying?
In short, the fact that there are multiple possibilities, right, and they are Masr L'Chachmei Yisrael, makes it even more imperative that people are qualified. Right?
Ironically,
this is what Rosen points out. Ironically, if you think there's only one truth, right, and we're just trying to figure out the one truth, then who comes out with it, comes up with that truth is less important. If you think there are multiple truths, and which truth becomes practically binding is based on the halachic process, it becomes more important who made the decision, right? Because they are creating halachic reality rather than figuring out what the objective reality is, right? Yeah. And the Ritva, Lishitaso, and this is pointed out by Rav Shaul Yisraeli and Siman Vav, in Amud HaYemini, the Ritva, Lishitaso, holds that Psak creates a metaphysical reality, which makes sense because he thinks that there are multiple possibilities. So the process of Psak is what actually makes something binding, rather than Psak just being a means by which we figure out what is true. So that's Al Regel Achas. Okay, what I want to do now is just read Rashi, because Rashi actually has a very sophisticated understanding of Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim that he builds out of this. And with his background, you'll see where he falls on the spectrum, but how he gets it out of our Gemara. You look at Rashi, he says, Hakamash Malan. Deheicha de Ashgachan Amorai. De Pligi Ahadadi. When you find Amoraim who argue with each other, Kol Chad Aliba Din Nafshe. Everyone, according to his own opinion, utrei amorai achrine depligi bipluk dahanach amorai, and you have a different machlokas amoraim about what someone else said. Dahana the islan the ferushe milza betray lishne, and you can explain it with either one, right? Chadami nayu miflegi trei amorai aliba denavshayu should call echad omer svara shelo. Right? You could either explain that it's two amoraim arguing according to their own svara. Could go on Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua, v'inach trei amorai aliba dechad lo miflegi ela amri chada milsa v'chada min lishna miflegi trei amorai aliba dechad. Right? And the other machlokes is not two people saying different things, but rather two people trying to figure out what somebody else said. I mean, they're arguing about one thing. Right? What was that one thing? Kigon Rav Dimi v'Ravin, like this case of Rav Dimi and Ravin, u'meshavya milsa tram oroi, kamoi chada milsa, shavkina nahi lishna demiflage tram oroi, aliba dechad, we abandon the possibility that it's two people arguing about one shita, v'nachtina nahi demiflegei trei amorai aliba denafshayu, and we instead adopt the position that it's two amoraim arguing according to their own svara. Why? Dechiplegei trei aliba dechad, when two people are arguing at one person, mar amra hachi, Amar Ploni, Umay Amar Hachi Amar Ploni, one says Reuven said X, and one says Reuven said Y. Chad minayhu mishaker. One of them is just lying. Aval kipligi trei amorai bidin. But when two people are arguing not about what somebody said, but they're arguing about the halacha itself, O b'isur v'heter, kol chad amar hachi mistaber taima. And each one says this makes more sense, and the other one says this makes more sense. Ein kan sheker. There is no lying. Kol chad v'chad svara didei kamar, because each of them is saying his own svara. Mar yahiv taima lehetera, umar yahiv taima leisura. Right, each one gives a reason either to forbid or to permit. Mar medami milsa lemilsa hachi, umar medami le binyan achrina. Right, one person compares it to one conceptual category, and the other person compares it to a different one. The ika lemeimar, and therefore you can say elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Haim, you can say that both of them are the words of the living God. Zimnin deshayech haytaima, v'zimnin deshayech haytaima. And sometimes you can say this reason, sometimes you can say that reason. Shatam mishapech lefi shinui hadvarim b'shinui me'at, because the reason will switch with just a little bit, right? With a little change, the reasons will apply differently. Yeah. Right, so Rashi is very careful. Right, Rashi takes which position?
The middle one.
Right, Rashi is saying, right, what does elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim mean? Not that there's multiple truths, nor that right they're both just valuable because they went through the process, but rather
because they both have kernels
of truth. But if right, when can you say that both have kernels of truth? If
they're both arguing about a svara,
meaning they're arguing, right? How do I understand this law? So look, right, I gave this example to you yesterday, right? We can say that the laws of Yeharik Valyavor teach us that there are certain halachot that are worth dying for, right? That's a value, right? Sometimes, right, you have to be willing to give up your life for God, right? That's what we learn from the existence of Yeharik Valyavor, okay? The existence of Yavor Val Yehareg, right, teaches you that there's certain times you don't, that there's a value to life which overrides certain mitzvah, right? So we agree to those values, right, that there's a value to preserving life, and there's also a value to sacrificing. Right? Then you have a machlokes, right? How many Yeharik Val Yavors are there? Are there three? Is there one? Is there four? Right? Machlokes, right, in the Gemara. Now, right, they're not arguing on, they're arguing on application of those principles, right, how they manifest themselves, right, but they agree to the balancing act, right, they're just balancing them differently. So, each of them is valuable insofar they each contain a kernel of truth that expresses itself in other places in halakha, right? But if they're arguing about a fact, right, they're arguing, did Rav say X or did Rav say Y, then one of them is just
wrong.
Or lying. Or
quoting Rashi.
Rashi says lying, but he could have just as easily said wrong.
Does Rashi's, his comment seems to have the last line, does that have any halakhic implications? Because it says that one is shaykh to a time. Does that mean that both will be, does that not mean that both opinions should have halakhic applications and we can't just...
He assumes they do, right? Usually things will have some expression somewhere, yeah. Okay. I don't know if that always true. I don't know.
No,
now,
but it does have halakha. You can't just choose one side and only say we go according to that side.
No, I mean you can. It could be that it will have an expression somewhere totally different.
But
right?
I mean, it needs an expression any time, in a mitzvah time.
I don't understand.
Rashi says that there will be a situation where both opinions will be shown. Right.
Okay.
Does that mean that you have to paskin in a way that both opinions could be shaykh?
No.
But does that make... Is that what Rashi's saying?
No. Meaning, I paskin now, however I paskin, because only one of them is right. But the arguments that were offered for the other side, right, may have some truth to them, and they'll appear somewhere totally different. Right? Right? It doesn't mean... I don't have to come up with a pshara position, right, to allow them both to express themselves in this case. Right? There are shittos that do that. Maram B. Rutenberg has a tendency to does this. Right, Professor Kanerfogel has pointed this out. The Maram B. Rutenberg in several places tries to actually do what you're saying. Right, like there's a machlokes Rashi Tosfos. Is the mezuzah supposed to be vertical or horizontal? Right, we all paskin like the Maram B. Rutenberg, and the Ashkenazim paskin Maram B. Rutenberg, who says
diagonally.
Right, so. Sometimes there are Rishonim and Acharnim who try to do that, right? Who try to go a step further than Rashi, right? And say each of them have value and therefore we should find a way of expressing both of them. But that's not what Rashi's saying. What Rashi's saying, they'll somewhere else, right? Or in some other circumstance, they will have value. Now, Rashi is very appealing. Right? I mean, he's very appealing, right? There's something to it. I'll just point out that it's not entirely clear that he's right. Misvar is very compelling. But according to Rashi, what would you assume Elu Ve'elu would not apply to? Right? Any case of...
We're arguing over one opinion.
Or extrapolate from that, right? What types of cases would Rashi say Elu Ve'elu doesn't apply to?
If you're trying to figure out what someone said.
I said go further than that. Anytime they're arguing about what?
To you?
Yeah, a fact. Right, anytime they're arguing at a fact, not just a fact of who said what or what, right? But any fact, right? If you say that, right, this is pig, and I say that it's cow, right? Only one of us is right. That's not Eilu Ve'elu Dirvim L'chaim, right? Problem is Gemara in Gittin, right? Where I said, remember Eilu Ve'elu comes up more than once. So in Erevin, that works fine. Here, that works fine. But the Gemara there has a discussion of what happened in the Pelegesh Begiva case. Right, so the Gemara brings in Machlokes. Right, why... What?
Wait, Machlokes in regard to what part of the...
Why did the husband originally send away his Pelegesh? Right, there's a Machlokes in the story. What happened? So Rebbe Eviatar said, Zvuv Matzalah, he found a fly in his soup, right, or something like that, or... He found a fly. Rionazan Amar Nima Matzalah. He found a hair, whatever. Right? V'ashchei Rebav Yasser Le'Eliyahu. And Amar Le'i Mai Ka'avid HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he said Vavamud Beis, and it goes on to Zion. The whole sugya does, but the actual line is on Vav. So he said to Eliyahu, what's going on in heaven? Amar Le'i Asik B'Pilegish B'Giva. He said, Hashem is learning the psukim about Pelegesh Begiva. Fine. Well, Mike Amar, what is he saying? Amar le, Eviatar bini kachu omer. Yonatan bini kachu omer. He said, my son Eviatar said X, and Yonatan said Y. What's the problem here?
God knows what happened.
Yeah, so the Gemara says, Amar le, he said to Eliyahu, Chas v'sholom, umi ika smeka kmei shmaya? Is there a suffix in heaven? Amar le, they're both true. Hain's vuv matzav elo hikmet, nima matzav hikmet. Because at some level, they're both true. Right? What? What? Because first he found a zvuv and he didn't care, then he found a nima and he did care. Now, it what? Now it happens to be that in this case, he says they're elu v'elu dirik l'mchayim because I can find a way that they're both true and they don't actually contradict. But
how would that work?
What?
How would that work?
I just told you. He said that first he found a zvuv and he didn't care enough, right? But then the finding the hair tipped him over.
So they both had effect.
Right? But it... Right? So it's true that it doesn't actually contradict Rashi because it finds a way of making it both true, but... What does the Gemara tell you?
That you could have a...
That even in fact, right, machlokot about facts, right, it's not always impossible in machlokot about fact to find some sense in which they're both true.
Yeah, but that's only if you follow this.
Similarly, furthermore, right, does Rashi's understanding of Elu Ve'elu Dibur Klam work in that case? Even... Not really, because right, his notion means that different legal arguments will have value in different cases. Does that work when we're arguing about what happened? In fact, right, even if I'm willing to say, okay, it doesn't contradict Rashi's notion that you can't have that a machlokes in fact doesn't have elu ve'elu dirakim chaim because only one of them is right. Because in this case, we found a way of mitzvahs both being right. Right, still, what are you missing? But you're still making, right, you're missing what Rashi thinks is central to making Elu Ve'elu Dibur Elokim Chayim, which is that they both will at some point express themselves in halacha. In this Agadata, I don't know how that does it. I don't know how much of a kasha it is, because I don't really know what the Gemara means, right, and it could be just using it, right, it could be Elu Ve'elu means different things in different places, it could be that in this Agadata it's being used loosely, I don't really know. I'm just pointing out, right, that Rashi, Shita, and pretty much all Shitas in Elu Ve'elu Dibur Elokim Chayim are a little bit complicated by the fact that the Gemara, in fact, applies it in a case where you're clearly arguing about Metzius. So it does complicate issues, even though it doesn't prove anybody wrong, it just complicates how everyone understands it. Let me just summarize, and then I'll take your question, okay? Yeah. So we just pointed out that there are three basic positions in Elu Ve'elu Dibur Elokim Chayim: the actual multiple truth theory, which is the Ritva according to Zerim Peretz, or the Shita, which is very, very prevalent, which is there's only one truth, but they're both valuable because they're both trying, or something like that, or Ramosha's formulation, which is there's only one truth in heaven, but there's multiple possible truths in Psak, or there's Emet Lamito and Emet Lora. Then there's the middle position, that there's only one truth, but each of them has a kernel of truth. Each of the legal arguments is valuable and will express itself somewhere in the halakhic system, which is Rashi. And Rashi uses that to explain why, if we can, we'll prefer to having machlokas, where people are actually staking out positions rather than trying to figure out who said what, because one of them, someone will be factually wrong, and the other one they're not. They're saying svaros that are independently valuable. We just noted that in the Gemara and Gittin, everything seems to be thrown off a little bit, where you do have a case of Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim by facts, which does complicate it. It doesn't totally disprove Rashi, because it does, right, in the end, come up with a case where they're not actually wrong, but it does push away from Elu Ve'elu only applying by legal cases where I can say this svara will express itself somewhere else in halacha. Yes, Natanael.
Probably what you said earlier, with the machlokes mitzvahs, even there, it can be Elu Ve'elu Dibur Elokim Chayim based on what you said. But your answer, basically, the answer we gave before, that it was both the hare and the fly, it doesn't really... It's just because technically they both happen to be true. However, mashma, were that not the case, we'd still have a problem, right? So how can you say, machlokes mitzvahs, apart from unless they're both true, they're still...
I agree with you. This Gemara complicates it. It doesn't prove anything wrong, because in the end of the day, we have no other case in Shas, right? The only case in Shas where we have Elu Ve'elu applying to a Metzius Machlokes, the Gemara comes up with a way that they're both true, right? So
I know, so I'm saying classically it would not therefore apply.
I assume, but I don't know, because Elu Ve'elu comes up twice in Shas, right? No, so I don't know what classically means, right?
No,
we have two examples of it.
I'm saying that the only way we've managed to apply Elu Ve'elu to the Metzius is because they both happen to be true in practicality, right?
Yeah, and that's why I said it doesn't...
Or you could say Elu Ve'elu. Say it was just a fly, or just a hair. Just then, for example...
Then you wouldn't say Elu Ve'elu, but that's why he's pointing out. It doesn't actually disprove Rashi, at least the first half of Rashi. The second half, it really does raise questions, because Rashi's reason why both positions are valuable is because they express themselves, right, like halachically, here the best you can say is they both half express themselves in a story in Shoftim, which I'm not sure is quite as powerful. Again, I'm not saying that it disproves Rashi. I don't really know what to do with it.
We're left with the Lomdus decision of you take it this way or that way. We don't know where to go. As in, you can either say, based on what you said before, that because the one time we start to have machlokes and tzeiros, we get out of it, therefore you can apply Eluv Eluv. Or you could say, the one time we have it, it's Eluv Eluv because they're both true, and therefore which way do we take? You see what I mean or not?
No.
Okay. You said before, the one time we have machlokes and tzeiros and say Eluv Eluv
is a case where the Gemara ends up saying they're both true, which tells you at the end of the day that
either
it's not obvious that we can't have Eluv Eluv by facts.
So either you can, or it's you can only get out because the facts are both true.
Like I said, Rashi makes two points. There's two elements of what Rashi said. One is that you can't have Eluv Eluv where somebody's wrong factually. Right? The second thing he says is that the reason machlokot are valuable is because both sides express themselves somewhere in the halachic system. Right? The Gemara seems to take Kedavra Pashat Rashi's first assumption, which is that you can't, Eluv Eluv doesn't apply when someone is actually wrong, right? Because that's the Gemara's right response. Mi'ikas fake kamashmaya, and the only reason is that Eluv Eluv different from Chaim is because they both applied. Rashi's second svar, that the primary reason Eluv Eluv applies is because they both express themselves legally, is not borne out here. Right here, you at least have to expand Rashi and say, Rashi will say Eluv Eluv applies anytime they're both true in any sense, in any circumstance, right? Right, but being true through some mitzius ukimta is not quite the same as saying what you're saying has independent value in the halachic system. It just, you know, in the balance of things, doesn't express itself. It's slightly different. There are similarities. I'm just pointing out that this slightly complicates it because right, it's being used in a way differently than it is in classic cases where it's just a machlok is in halacha. I agree, right? We still, in the end of the day, have no case where something is false, nor do we have any case where something doesn't express itself in some way, where we say, but it's still not quite as smooth as the very fancy, you know, elu ve'elu of legal theory once you're in Matthias, because Matthias is still messier, no matter how you deal with it. Okay.